Welcome to this episode of the Erasing Shame Podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and today on this episode, I'm with Dr. Kenneth Wong, who is a professor of psychology at Fuller Theological Seminary. Thank you, Dr. Kenneth, for joining me.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you for inviting me to be part of this chat. I'm really honored to be here.
Well, the reason I wanted to chat with you is because you have spent a good number of years studying the topic of perfectionism, and that is something that many of us as Asian and Asian Americans are very sensitive to. So would you describe how you got into researching this very touchy subject?
Yeah, that's a good question. Initially, when I was planning to apply for a doctoral PhD, PhD programs in counseling psychology, I needed to identify potential faculty members in a research area of my interest. And a lot of people say that research is about me search. So researching something that we resonate with. And so I looked at various things, and I feel like perfectionism was something that I could resonate with, and also something that was not as stigmatized as other mental health disorder. Like the society, sometimes there's the bad part, stressful part about perfectionism, but perfectionism is often like a topic when you go on interviews. People ask you what's your weakness, and perfectionism is one that can also give you some points for. So I think that was one of the reasons. And then I connected, got admitted to Penn State University, and worked with Dr. Robert Slaney, Bob Slaney. And he was renowned perfectionism researcher. And so worked with him, and that sort of launched my path on researching and also understanding and working with perfectionists.
Wow, that's amazing. And growing up in a traditional Chinese home, I came to the U.S. when I was eight, I certainly felt the pressure to achieve. And when I didn't bring home 100% on my grades, it was the comment of, hey, why did you get 95 instead of where's the other 5 points? And so that was a very tangible and uncomfortable thing about perfect grades. But when you talk about perfectionism, is there a working definition that you use, and how would you describe when it could be healthy or just unhealthy?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's something that as a research, as researchers have struggled with. So earlier research, they identified perfectionism based on a lot of behaviors or mindset and stuff, like concern over mistakes, procrastination, parental expectation and stuff. And the uniqueness of what Bob, my mentor, Bob Slaney, did was he looked at perfectionism from its core definition. So he looked up dictionary definitions of perfectionism. So there were two key main definitions. One was striving for perfection, so high achieving, high standards, high expectations. And the other was magnifying and too obsessive on imperfection. So there was a positive one, that striving, and the other one was just being unsatisfied, bothered by any little imperfection. So based off of that, they now the two core dimensions of perfectionism, one is striving towards perfection, and the other is being obsessed about imperfection and never feeling like you're good enough. So for example, you're 95 points, so it's being obsessed and magnifying the 5 points that you missed as opposed to looking at the big picture. So those would be the two different core definitions of perfectionism.
Well, that's really helpful. And I know all of us have an innate sense of something that's perfect or something that's ideal. And part of that draws us to achieve more. But there's also the uncomfortable feeling when we don't achieve that. And sometimes the ideal is just unrealistic. But we still have this uncomfortable feeling. So as you've studied this, do you notice any cultural differences? I know you've worked with not just Asian, but also American and Turkish and other cultures. What have you noticed?
Yeah, so there are, so we did studies with different populations. And what I find the pattern is that Asian Americans or Asians, they tend to score higher on feeling like I'm not good enough. So it's the discrepancy part, the part that magnifies the imperfection compared to their European American counterparts. So that's been a key finding, and I find that interesting because, and also wondering about why. So I link it with part of it is the Asian culture, the East Asian Confucian kind of culture. And ways that people are socialized. For example, your parents were socialized to focus on the negative or the discrepancy part to motivate you to achieve. They think that's the way to improve. You're constantly focusing on improving and becoming a better person. And then so there's a lot of attention to that, to the not being good enough. So I know that there is a difference, and studies have found that some Western cultures, this is not strictly to perfectionism, but they emphasize more on self-enhancement, feeling good about oneself. And some East Asian East Asian cultures, they focus a little bit more on self-improvement. So I think there is the negative part of perfectionism, like the maladaptive part is the focusing on imperfection, and the adaptive part is the striving. But also, I think we should also look at it in the cultural context and how people have been socialized throughout their lives.
Yeah, that's really good to understand from a broader perspective. But for us average people, which most of the listeners of this Erasing Shame podcast is, we're just struggling with this daunting, uncomfortable feeling and even shame about not being good enough. And it's that discrepancy that just really gnaws at us and even affects our mental health. So just before we got on, I happened to find a little short video reel of you on YouTube describing that you help people overcome or heal over this perfectionism. So what advice would you have regarding this topic?
So I think dealing with perfectionism, we should look at the underlying factors. You mentioned that oftentimes people struggle with perfectionism, cause a lot of anxiety, cause stress. And some of the underlying factors are related to a feeling of inadequacy. And so feeling like I need to prove myself, I need to achieve certain things for me to feel adequate. In other words, there's a psychological term called contingent self worth. Contingent self-worth means that our self-worth are contingent on our achievement, our performances, the universities that we attend, or the salary that we get, and things like that. Okay, maybe I'll back up a little bit. So that feeling of inadequacy causes a lot of stress. And so knowing that what it's related to is important, being aware of, I think I'm basing my self-worth on this external factor, on things that I'm achieving. So I think that's being aware of that is important. And also the discrepancy part, if we often magnify what we don't have and where we're not adequate enough, we often feel bad about ourselves. We feel inadequate and we're already inadequate, and then we focus, scrutinize that, that makes it worse. So another part is to accept that, to become a better person as a perfectionist, to grow better, my Achilles heel is that I focus too much on imperfection. I'm too bothered by the mistakes, the setbacks, the failures, and then I feel really bad about myself. So it's paradoxical, I would say, to become a better person or to perfect ourself as a person as a whole, it's about accepting imperfection. And to say that, I'll make mistakes, but making a mistake or dealing with a setback is often an opportunity for me to grow, to become better at tolerating, coping, and accepting mistakes, and to get up and to continue. And of course, we know that if we want to build muscles, we go to the gym and lift weights or do push-ups and stuff. We need to have the opportunity. Muscles don't grow by just sitting there. Mm. And similarly, mental muscles, we need opportunities to for our mental workout. So one of the ways that I deal with my perfectionism is when I encounter the setbacks, the mistakes, the failures, I remind myself, okay, this is another workout session. I can get better at tolerating, accepting my mistakes, my imperfection, and I'll be stronger. And in turn, I'll be a more perfect person that can deal with imperfection.
Thank you. Maybe a change of terminology might be helpful, that it's not we become a more perfect person, but we become a better person or a growing person.
Better. Yeah, probably better is better. It's a better term.
Yeah, recently I just attended a mental health conference, and one of the presentations noticed that for Asian-minded people, they were just uncomfortable with the word success. And this is in the reference regarding aging, that they didn't want to say they lived a successful life and now they're aging and maturing and have a lot of wisdom to share. They were much more comfortable with the term good enough, that we lived a good enough life and now we can enjoy and pass along our learnings. Okay. And so even a small change like that could help people not be so emotionally caught up in striving for perfection and thinking we're not good enough because we're not perfect. Because reality is we are not perfect. We're human. But then we have to figure out, well, what do we do with this feeling, this discrepancy of where we are, where we have potential to go versus, hey, we'll never be perfect, but we don't want to settle for too little. So trying to navigate that is kind of part of the journey. And then for us as Christians, so now I want to explore a little bit about how does this fit with how we come to God? Because in one sense, God demands holiness and perfection, and we're not good enough. Then we feel like we're worms and we're worthless. And that's not the best way to go either.
So I think there's various parts of the Bible, the scripture, that tells us or gives us the mindset of we need to be perfect. So for example, Matthew 5:48 says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so I think Jesus is perfect. We also think of Jesus as the perfect image, and we need to sort of strive to be that. But on the other hand, I think what is important is that if we're perfect, we don't need God. God's relationship with us is not based on us being perfect. And one of the verses that I like the most is about God's grace. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 to 10. It says that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made imperfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults and hardship, in persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. And I think it's like us acknowledging that we're weak, or we are branches connected to God, who is the vine. We are not meant to be self-sufficient and not reliant on God. But instead of being a perfect person, we strive to be better or good enough connected with God. So those are some of the thoughts. And more recently, it's surprising. I think this is a very easy concept. But for me, it was just, I think within this past year, Henry Nouwen's, one of his devotional books, just focused on the idea that we are the beloved child of God. And it's not based on what I do, but simply who I am. And this is very simple. Everyone knows, and I've heard this maybe two decades ago, but it was more recent that this just sunk in for me that I'm good enough. I need to feel that I'm beloved. And I think sometimes maybe in Asian American families, we don't feel that affectionate love. And so we kind of feel like we need to work harder to prove that we deserve to be loved, or we are worthwhile. Like you mentioned, like we need to get the extra 5 points to get a perfect score. So that's what our parents convey to us. Of course, it's not all parents, different families are different, but sometimes knowing that we are loved, and I think with God too, sometimes it's not very tangible to know God's love, or the knowledge knowing is different from the affectionate emotionally really experiencing. So I think being aware that we are good enough and God loved us, not for what we do, but his grace is there. And the weakness, our weakness and our willingness to connect with God is what God's offering for us. I think that helps with perfectionism for me.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm just in the middle of that journey to learning how to not just understand, but to accept and to feel more of God's love. And one phrase I've been meditating on is understand the Bible is not just exegeting it, but experiencing it.
Yeah, definitely.
And something we're learning in neuroscience is our brain gets rewired through tangible experiences.
Yes.
And I think that's where the church has such a vital role, to be the body of Christ in the tangible, physical, literal sense, that as we express the love of God through our words of kindness and words of affirmation and acts of service and gentle touches and appropriate hugs, that's how we begin to experience the love of God through our brothers and sisters. Yeah. And having gentle conversations like this that are empathetic and non-judgmental and help us to appreciate what we have to bring to one another, even though this isn't a perfectly produced podcast, that we can just be ourselves and share ourselves, and people can say, hey, that is what it means to be human, and not be caught up by the impossible chase to perfectionism, because you can never reach it.
I think, for example, I think in preparation for this podcast, I've been thinking, okay, taking a lot of notes, things that I want to say. And even now, looking at my notes, I forgot to say a bunch of other stuff. And then there's like, should I say this or that? But I think what was really helpful before the podcast was thinking like, okay, I should live out what I preach. Embrace imperfection and to see it as opportunities to work on accepting them. And so I think then it helped me to think, okay, if I'm not perfect, or if I'm not desirably ideal in terms of my presentation or our chat, it's fine. It's okay. Don't stress about it. And I think that relieved some of that anxiety, and knowing that, okay, If I'm not perfect, that's an opportunity to model dealing with perfectionism.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Wong, for putting yourself out here to record on a Zoom call and having this conversation. I know it is not easy, especially for those of us who are Asian and Asian American and do not do public speaking often. It's different in the classroom, but when you're recorded, it just feels very different, right?
Yeah, but I appreciate this opportunity and you making it relaxing to just chat.
Thank you. Well, one more thing I wanted to mention is I had first connected with you through this group that I found called the LA AAPI Therapist Group. And it looks like you're bringing together some Asian American therapists in some way. And so can you share a little more what you're venturing to do here?
Yeah, so we're a group of therapists, Asian American therapists in the Los Angeles area. And we got together, just to connect. So we're part of a consultation group where we meet every month, once a month, to discuss cases, to discuss Asian American issues, cultural aspects, and things like that. And we thought it would be helpful to sort of have a web presence so that for people who are looking for therapists who are sensitive to Asian American, Pacific Islander background issues, that they can find us here. So we work with individuals, couples, families, especially issues that are focused on Asian American experiences, intergenerational differences, tension, conflict, or different worldviews, parenting. So so we're a group of like, I think around 8-9 therapists. It's nice that we're able to connect through this avenue.
Yeah, it's so important for counselors and therapists to have peer support, because after you've gone through school and you've been educated, it's a hard work. There's a lot of emotional and cognitive labor in what you're doing. So I'm really glad you're providing that peer support for professionals. Yeah. So go ahead and mention the URL website for those that are listening.
Okay. Yeah. So the URL is AAPI therapist. It's with plural, SLA.com. So AAPI-therapistsla.com. And that's where you can find more information about us. And you emphasized the peer consultation. I think it's even more important to have Asian American peers, because what we're trained in school are not often tailored to Asian American experiences. They're more based on white European mainstream experiences. Mm-hmm. So being able to consult and contextualize our work with clients, I think that's been very helpful and important.
Well, thank you for doing such important work, both at the seminary level, as well as in your private practice, along with this group of LA AAPI therapists. We'll add a link in the show notes at erasingshame.com, as well as to some of your research in the perfectionists labs. And just really appreciate you. Hope to meet you in person one day. Thank you for being part of Erasing Shame today.
Thank you, DJ. Glad to be here.
Okay. Thank you, viewers and listeners, for joining us on this episode of the Erasing Shame podcast. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Erasing Shame podcast. Check out the show notes at erasingshame.com and subscribe to our email for updates. We would love to hear from you, so please add your comments at our website or on social. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcast app, and you can also subscribe on YouTube or follow on Facebook. Please add a rating and review so we can reach more people with our message of health, hope, and compassion. This podcast is the digital outreach of Christian Asian Mental Health.